You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Hello, everybody. This is Alabama's news talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is Lee from Huntsville, in for Phil Williams from the Right Side Studios. We got the local, the state, the national, all the issues, because we're solid, conservative, and just plain right. Excited to be here, Boomer.
Oh, man, I'm happy you're here today. This is awesome.
Yeah, I always love filling in.
And you're in studio, which makes it even better.
Absolutely. I need to have you close by, Boomer, so I got to be in studio. I'm willing to drive to get here.
Well, I'm happy you're here. It's always a pleasure for you to come in.
It's going to be a great show today. We're going to have Congressman Barry Moore at 2:30
right.
Coming up to discuss the House election.
Oh, man.
I mean, Speaker of the House has been going crazy, and so right now it seems to be a bit stalled. So we'll be hearing from him. Kind of see what his take is. At 3 o'clock, we're going to have a call from Elizabeth Stewart from Moms for Liberty. She's going to discuss a little mini dipper I have, kind of following up on something from yesterday from the libraries.
Nice.
With Phil. And then, of course, my favorite segment, which is Boomer and McQueen coming up. So, you know, it's always exciting. I've been McQueen a few times, fill in. So.
Yes, you have. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah, that'll be fun to handle that. But I do have a triple dipper.
Oh, here we go. Triple dipper time then.
I do.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
So, first triple dipper is Israel's BFF. Going to kind of talk about, it's also going to be in my monologue, how American Christians have really reached out and always have held Israel in a special place in their hearts. I'm also going to do one on TikTok idiocy. That's going to be a good one because there's a lot of idiocy to discuss.
Wow, okay.
When it comes to TikTok. And then my final one is pain in the pocketbook. Or you can also call it economic sleight of hand. Yeah. So can't wait to, you know, discuss those coming up. But I did have a monologue today. I'm going to follow Phil's format here. And it kind of goes along with the Israel's BFF theme. I've always had a fascination with Israel. It started when I was a child in Sunday school and in church. And, you know, listening to my teachers and pastors talk about the Old Testament forefathers, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Learning about Moses, remember you making the little felt Moses parting of the sea when you're in Sunday school, how he helped Jews escape bondage in Egypt and making their way to the promised land of Israel. And learning about David and his brave fight against the Philistine giant named Goliath. Dave did what King Saul wouldn't do. David would go on to become arguably the greatest king in Israel history. More importantly to me, I learned about the ministry of Jesus Christ. I read how my Savior was born a Jew in Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth, and preached the gospel in the streets of Jerusalem and throughout Israel. I'd love one day to see the Sea of Galilee where he sailed with the apostles and to be baptized in the Jordan River where he was. Israel is full of so much history for Christians, and many of us pilgrimage there every year. My church just recently welcomed back a group that came back maybe a month before all of this happened. And I know there was quite a few churches that had people stranded during this Hamas, you know, led rampage. So it's very important to Christians. And you'd think, though, that Israel's best friend would be the Jewish population in the United States. For many Jews, that is the absolute truth. They are dedicated to a strong and permanent Israel. But a significant number, for them, Israel can be problematic. According to the Pew Research Center, 7 in 10 Jews identify as Democrat or liberal. For decades in the 20th century, Jews believed that anti-Semitism flourished in the right-leaning Republican Party. They mistakenly associated the Nazi socialism with conservatism. What a shock it must be to now come to the realization that the leftist ideology had a loud, robust anti-Semitic voice. Many Democrats, including the oft-quoted Squad, are out and proud in their condemnation of Israel's right to defend itself, even immediately after this brutal attack. The Jewish population is starting to look around and understand that they may not be amongst friends. And to that I say, guys, there's room in our tent. And we have a heart for Israel. And that is a wrap on the Right Side Way. So, Boomer, I can't wait to talk about Israel and some of the ways that American Christians are making a difference there and how basically we are the best friend of this country of Israel.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And all the other dippers. I look forward to it.
Yes. It's going to be a blast. Here we go.
It's Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio, and I'm excited to be covering for Phil today while he is out footloose and fancy free wherever he is. I've already got a few texts coming in, which is nice. Gina from Athens said, I love the monologue. Great job. Well, thank you, Gina. I really appreciate that. Since this isn't what I normally do for a living, I'm thrilled that I'm meeting your expectations. Crazy Joe from Decatur sent a fantastic meme, and we'll just have to figure out what the word is we need to fill in for that. And John from Huntsville said he loved the monologue and loves that I keep Phil's format. Let me tell you, I'm not reinventing the wheel. And also, he's looking forward to Boomer and McQueen. So, whoop.
I know.
Yes.
Coming up.
It's coming up, so we're looking forward to it, too. I can't wait to be a part of it with McQueen. I'm always subbing for McQueen.
You're always subbing, so now you get to, be a part of it.
I get to be a part of it and choose the questions.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so back to the subject of Israel's BFF. And I got in my hot little hands here. I love he makes that sound. From the Times of Israel, back in July of 2017, Netanyahu actually did a speech discussing that evangelical Christians are Israel's best friends. And I thought this was a really poignant article. And it starts out, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told a Christian evangelical audience in Washington that they were Israel's best friends in the world, in an address notable for the pointed absence of any reference to Donald Trump, which I thought was interesting, or his administration's efforts in the region. Quick pause there. He did move the embassy to Jerusalem, which was a very gutsy move, Boomer. So I say, you know, he might have ought to have mentioned that. When I say we have no greater friends than the Christian supporters of Israel, I know you've always stood with us, Netanyahu told the cheering crowd at Christians United for Israel's annual conference. You stand with us because you stand with yourselves, because we represent the common heritage of freedom that goes back thousands of years. America has no better friend than Israel, and Israel no better friend than America. People often make a mistake in conventional discussions when they used to say that militant Islamists hate the West because of Israel. Actually, it's the other way around. They hate Israel because of the West. Because we represent a free society built on the foundation of Judeo-Christian heritage, this is the society they despise so much. And it just basically goes on from there. It's him saying a lot of what I said in my opening monologue of a shared heritage, shared ideals. And of course, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. And that would probably be pretty threatening to, you know, the hardcore Islamists and the theocracies and even the squishy theocracies, you know, that aren't quite so hardcore. I always say there's not a lot of them that will cut your head off, but there are some that will cheer while someone else does it. You know what I'm saying? Like those are the squishy ones. But I even noticed on Fox News up here on the Chiron earlier, they were saying, get ready, telling the people then to get ready for the ground offensive. So it could be coming very soon. They were telling some of the journalists to get ready. So it's overnight there right now. And it could be on its way. What do you think, Boomer?
Honestly, I mean, just watching what's going on over there and everything, I think it definitely could be on its way. And they just, in my eyes, they keep telling people, hey, you need to go in and get out. This could and very well may happen. So I hope those civilians are listening to that so that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that instead of just being like, oh, it's not going to happen, or we'll be okay. I hate to see.
I think they've held back actually longer than I thought they would.
That's how it is for me. I actually thought they were going to go in a lot earlier than, than now. So
I think they're doing their best to try and be able to rescue some of the hostages,
right?
Instead of going in guns blazing, because more than likely they would be killed. I think they're trying to do as much, research the area and where they think, you know, just get intelligence on where they're holding the hostages and that sort of thing. To me, that seems right. to be why they might wait some, but the more they wait, the more the tide turns a bit, you know,
right.
internationally. So I think it'd probably be better sooner rather than later at this point, especially with Hezbollah kind of making noise on the northern yeah. side, you know, they don't need a two front fight.
Absolutely not. I mean, no. if they could go in and just do what they need to do,
right.
More than figuring out more than one front, that would be pretty hard. And I think that's when possibly other people may be getting involved.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't know if anybody wants that.
Nobody.
The
wants
more
that.
People get involved, the bigger it gets.
Yeah.
We don't want this to be kind of the first shot of a world war, right?
That's right.
Whew. Yeah. I have to look at it though and wonder, honestly, do you think the Jewish population here, especially ones on college campuses, in some of these really large cities, do you think their eyes are being opened by the sudden, just in your face, anti-Semitism that's going on?
I mean, I'm sure it is at some at some point. It has to be, right?
You would think. I can't imagine. I know a lot of them are not necessarily liberal. Jewish people may not be big supporters of Israel. I know they have things that they find problematic about them. But I think people walking down the street chanting death to Jews has to be a little disconcerting.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, when you see so many different people starting to do that and starting to do the small protests and everything, I'm sure it gets to that point of, wow, really? Is this really going on now? Even back where it originated. So,
right. And I think it's interesting. A lot of churches are very invested in what's happening over there. At my church, we just had a group come back. And in one of our services, my pastor actually played a message over the system of his friend in Israel who was their tour guide, just talking about what was going on.
Oh, wow.
And I know a lot of I don't know if your church had, but a lot of people, you know, a lot of churches have people go to Israel every year. It's certainly common.
Oh, right. I mean, I've had all my churches go before, and even just groups of friends that have gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very common to go over there.
Absolutely. I've got a article here from the New York Times, not my favorite newspaper of record.
Right.
But talking about evangelicals American evangelicals who back Israel, and basically saying neutrality isn't an option. Pastor Jared Wellman took the stage Sunday morning at Tate Springs Baptist Church, about 7,000 miles west of Jerusalem, to talk to his congregation about Israel. Neutrality isn't an option, Mr. Wellman told the crowd to murmurs of amen. He traced the history of aggression and oppression against the Jewish people through ancient Egypt into the Roman Empire, from Nazi Germany to the attacks on civilians last weekend by Hamas terrorists from Gaza, which he described as acts conceived in the darkest pits of hell. And I agree. Mm. American evangelicals are among Israel's most ardent advocates, compelled in part by their interpretation of Scripture that says God's ancient promise to the Jewish people designating the region as their homeland is unbreakable. Some evangelicals also see Israel's existence connected to biblical prophecy about the last days of the world. I think that this is very true, and that a lot of churches and pastors and Christian groups are very invested in what's happening in Israel and have a real heart for the Israeli people. And I also think that maybe the tide might turn a bit in this country. And I welcome that, because I think Christians and Jews, we're, you know, we worship the same God. We have the same holy books, at least the Old Testament for us and the Torah for Jews. We're so much more alike than we are different. And I hope that they know that they can count on Christians to be a supporter of Israel, and to, you know, and to know that we consider God's covenant with them to be eternal, and because the Jews are God's people. So I hope that the Jewish people here in the U.S. just come to that realization and are able to kind of reach out maybe and form a bit more of an alliance with, Republicans, conservatives, conservative Christians, evangelicals, all of those, and just have an understanding that we, you know, we care about what happens to Israel, and, you know, we're determined to, you know, keep that democracy up and going no matter what.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So hopefully when this ground offensive starts, they're able to get in and capture some, you know, recapture some of these poor folks that have been held hostage. And I also would like to know why we haven't heard more about the Americans there. Have you noticed that? There's very little discussion.
Very little discussion. And I think it is something that Phil and I discussed just the other day, or even a couple days in a row, is have we heard the president say,
no,
like, you got to release our American citizens? Like, has he actually said that? We need him, like, not, has he said that? I don't know.
So. Not in a way that, to me, not in a strong enough way. Can you imagine how Trump would have done it?
Oh, man.
We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, everyone. This is Lee from Huntsville, in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio, and we are back. Can't wait to talk with Congressman Barry Moore in just a moment about the speaker's race, or what's happening there for the Speaker of the House. I'm not sure how we're going to find resolution to this, but it'll be interesting. I did want to mention a couple of texts that I received. And one from Mark from Tony said, Israel is God's chosen place, and those who bless them will be blessed, and those who hate them will pay for it. It's all in God's word. Well, you got that right, Tony. And I think it might be best we all remember that. So Steve from Tennessee said during the 1979 Iranian hostage crisis, the Death to America marches were over there. Now it's coming to a town near you. Wake up, America. Yep. Yep, I would agree with that as well. Looks like we have Congressman Barry Moore on the phone. Hello, Congressman Moore. How are you?
Hey, I am doing fine. How's everybody this afternoon?
Well, we're doing well over here. So you're going to kind of give us an overall context here of what's going on with this Speaker of the House race and or what's not going on or what we're going to do going forward.
Yeah, so... Well, I wanted to refer back to what you were just saying. It's Genesis 12:3. I tell everybody it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. Just for your listeners and for just memory's sake, it's just as easy as 1, 2, 3, Genesis 12:3. But yeah, so we are in the process of working on trying to get Jim Jordan elected speaker. And hopefully, I encourage Jim to stay in the fight. He's a dear friend of mine. He and Polly and my wife and Heather and I, we're good friends. He's a good, principled man. He chairs Judiciary, which I serve on that committee with him. People know him around America. He's the second most popular Republican in the country. It's amazing to me that we're having trouble with certain people within our own delegation who are working against him. But it's because Jim was one of the founding members of the House Freedom Caucus. And so there's just a lot of animus about him allowing them just to spend away like they've always done. And so but I think that the Republicans who are against Jim right now, in many areas, they're waking up. It seems like the people are calling, and they're encouraging them to get behind Jim. And so I'm encouraging Jim to stay in the fight. And hopefully, he'll continue to stay in the fight. I mean, it took McCarthy 15 votes to get there. We've only had 2 for Jim. And he's a great negotiator. He's a great leader. And I think there's an opportunity for him to pull this thing across the finish line, and it'll be great for our country. Certainly be great for our future generations and also even for our party. I think if we could see a shift from Nancy Pelosi to McCarthy to Jim Jordan, that would be quite a dramatic shift in conservative leadership in our country.
Yes, it would. It would be amazing. I always look forward to seeing clips and sound bites from him because I'm always just, you know, pumping my fist in the air. Like he makes so much sense and he's so, common sense.
Yeah, he walked up to me when he's from Ohio, and you know I'm from Alabama, South Alabama. So he walked up to me on the floor one time. And I said, Jim, you have a way of getting the hay down where the goats can get it. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, you can take complex issues, you can condense them down to sound bites that the American people understand. He is kind of America's guy. I mean, he's just a everyday, you know, heartland kind of leader. I mean, he was a fighter through college as a wrestler. He only lost one match in almost 160 matches. He is just a fighter. But he's also great with skills in a sense of negotiating with people and strategy. And so I just encouraged him because he's such a great spokesman for America. And like I said, he's the second most popular Republican in the country. And I think what the ones that are against Jim Jordan, it's a lot of the people on HASS, which are House Armed Services Committee, and the appropriators who are used to just spending money like they've always spent money. And the leaders in D.C., the swamp, as we have experienced, they haven't passed a balance. They haven't done 12 approach bills in 26 years.
Right.
And so we were trying to move those approach bills, and they don't like that. They like to do a CR and omnibus, but that's why the Democrats keep winning on the debt. That's why we keep going into deficit spending every year. And that's why the country's $33 trillion in debt, because nobody has principally stood in the speaker seat and said, enough is enough. We're going to do our 12 approach bills. We're going to put good policy and responsible guardrails on spending. And so Jim is great in that sense. And him too, and I told some of my friends in House Freedom Caucus, you know, I'm the only member from Alabama that's an HFC, and I told them,
that's,
I
said, surprising.
There is a mass of it is for us to be such a red state, but there is a mass of humanity that is looking for conservatives, and if you watch Bud Light, you see what they did to Bud Light, you see what happened to Target, you see what Jason Aldean's song, try that in a small town, and recently Oliver Anthony. The rich men north of Richmond are getting really nervous right now because Jim Jordan may just will be our next speaker. And so that's the direction the country's going. I'm encouraging people to call their members and ask them to poor Jim, because he, I believe, is a man who is, he's never said negative about anybody. He gets along with everybody. And the 20 that are against Jim right now, mm-hmm. they don't have any principled reasons for being against Jim. They like Jim as a person. They can't really say publicly. It might be because they want to keep spending like drunk sailors. And I always tell everybody that's an insult to drunk sailors. But in reality, they cannot tell their base why they can't support Jim Jordan. So if Jim, I think if we keep going to the floor and keep getting votes, mm-hmm. Over time we'll flush out the people that are really against him. And then they'll have to come clean. Right now, it's just, I think it's all superficial. They just don't want to lose control. The rich men north of Richmond want to continue to seize power and control. And Jim's right. our guy to give the American people back the voice in D.C. And he's a great step in draining the swamp.
I've always wondered, which I think he's fantastic. I think he's always saying what many, many Americans are thinking. He just puts it to words, and he understands kind of the pulse of the American public. But I wonder, why is it that Democrats are always lockstep? They say a lot of stuff, but when it counts, they all vote like they're supposed to. Republicans just aren't like that.
No, and you know, you go to a communist country and they're all screaming for the tyrants and how great he is. I mean, you know, they're always saying, oh, this is, you know, we love Chavez, we love whoever it is. Because there is fear within their ranks. There is no freedom of thought. There is no mm-hmm. individualist ideas and ideologies that come out of that party. And so they walk in lockstep. And that's not uncommon for groups like that, that are just their groupthink. Mm-hmm. But when you get what I told Kevin McCarthy back when he was running in January for Speaker, I said, Kevin, this is not a rubber stamp. 70% of the conference, from a Republican standpoint, is new since Trump got elected in 2016. So we're seeing a shift within the party, and I think that's what people don't understand. Everybody going, oh, y'all, you're not governing, you're not leading. Well, there's a different shift within America, within politics, that Trump right. is now the most popular Republican, Jim Jordan's the second most popular Republican. Within our conference, there is the old guard Republicans who are just go along, get along. A lot of them have become swamp creatures. I tell them in a lot of ways, honestly, they it's always been done this way, and they just kind of go along. And it's not their fault. They're not necessarily bad people, but I think over time, K Street lobbyists have gotten their hooks in, and they live in a bubble up here. But within our conference, there's that old guard, mm-hmm. and then there's this new America First movement that's coming into conference, and that we're starting to see. And that's why there's not rubber stamps here, because the American people have said, we want different leadership in Washington, D.C. And again, like I said, you just see it in everyday America with the Bud Light stuff. And of course, like we talked about with, you know, try that in a small town. When there is a mass of people out there that are sending different people to D.C. and they're expecting change. And I tell everybody, if we'll embrace that change and we'll move back to what made America great, America First, secure borders, you know, enforcement of the law, a strong stance with our allies in the country, and doing away with this woke weaponization of government and wasteful mm-hmm. spending, there will be a unity of this party, and we'll have great success. But there is always a period of pain when there's change, and that's what's going on. We're having this America First movement within the conference, and that's why Kevin struggled to get there, and that's why Jim is almost there. But there's a huge shift, and I think it's great for America. I just hope we can get across the finish line.
And I think we will, although I just see on the Chiron here, it says Jordan drops plan to back a temporary House speaker. It's Representative Matt Rosendale speaking of the Freedom Caucus.
There was a movement, I think, in mm-hmm. some ways to do a temporary speaker. Mm-hmm. And I think there was some pressure applied to Jim, but I think that he's decided, hey, you know what, we're encouraging him just to go to the vote on the floor. I mean, Kevin went 15 votes. He whittled away and finally got there. I think the American people will keep calling their representatives, and I think if Jim keeps voting on the floor, those people will hear loud and clear that, hey, Jim is America's man. He's the guy for the time. He is our Esther, if you will.
I agree.
And I think that he can shift this whole focus. You talk about a great celebration. If we can get Jim Jordan the Speaker mm-hmm. of the House, a founding member of House Freedom Caucus,
that'll be amazing.
A signal and a ripple throughout the establishment in Washington, D.C. and throughout the rest of the country that, hey, and listen, there are a lot of people in purple places that love Jim Jordan because, like you said earlier, he just says it where people understand it. Mm-hmm. He's heartland of America kind of leader. And that's what
right. Well, if he's the second most popular Republican, you think one day he'll run for president?
You know, I don't know. I kind of thought Trump might grab him for VP at some point. But we could sure, you know, he's chairman of Judiciary, and he got me to join Judiciary a couple weeks. Well, about this year, actually. He came to me last August before the recess and said, hey, Barry, he said, would you join Judiciary? And I'm like, Jim, I'm a garbage man. I'm Baptist Crossroads, Alabama. I'm not an attorney. I haven't done business on Judiciary. And he said, well, Chuck Grassley's a farmer and does a heck of a job. And so Jim put me on Judiciary, and that's been one of the most amazing things to have an opportunity to question the FBI directors and Mayorkas on the border and to travel and see the border and go through those things where we question Merrick Garland with the DOJ, mm-hmm. things that I never dreamed. But Jim's a way of making – he pulls some strengths. He pulls people together, and he coaches you through your weaknesses, but he also can help you expose certain strengths. And so, look, I loved him as Judiciary Chair. I would appreciate him as Speaker, and heck, he may be VP and Vice President or President one day. Who knows? But for this next step, for such a time now, you know, Psalm 119:105, a lamp unto your feet, I tell Jim, brother, just keep stepping in that next step, because we're just going to be pulling and praying for him that he can get there.
Well, that I totally agree. We'll have to see what happens. Hopefully he'll won't take 17 tries. But thank you so
you
much,
know, I'm with him for 1,000 votes. Well, thank you for your time. And
I appreciate the update.
Thank you, sir, guy. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Well, we will be right back. Really appreciate that update from Congressman Moore, and hopefully we'll see some resolution on this soon. Be right back. Welcome back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams. And just heard from Congressman Barry Moore about the race for Speaker of the House. The conundrum for Speaker of the House. It's kind of up in the air right now. Looks like Jordan is still going to press forward and keep running. If McCarthy had to go umpteen times, I think, why not? Let Jordan keep pressing forward. I was actually impressed on the first vote. He got 200. So I feel like that getting that many from jump, he can probably pull some of the others in and pressure. I definitely suggest anyone in a state where your Republican representative is not voting for Jordan, that you need to be calling their offices and asking them why they're not voting and demanding that they do. Because we need a solid conservative person in a Speaker of the House. It would be amazing, especially if we're able to take back the Senate and the White House in 24. Can you imagine what can be done if you've got a group of politicians that, you know, have a solid footing underneath them and aren't afraid to, you know, address some of the tough issues and, you know, including spending. I mean, we all like spending, don't we? But the public's money, the public's, you know, funds, that they should not be just spent to spend. And I think if they're against Jordan for that reason, then I'm for him 100%. So hopefully he will prevail in time. Still talking about Israel's BFF, which is American Christians, as I was talking about earlier, and kind of how I think some Jewish people and organizations are starting to wake up to the less than friendly atmosphere in Democratic strongholds and, you know, such as universities and places like that. Israeli billionaire, got this story here from the New York Post. Israeli billionaire Aydin Ofer quits Harvard's board, blasts university's president over Hamas student letter. I know y'all probably heard about the student letter that was put out, different groups all in one letter supporting Hamas, and immediately after the horrific attack. And You know, this Israeli billionaire and his wife resigned from the executive board of Harvard's Kennedy School in protest of the school's president, Claudine Gray's belated kind of lukewarm response to the student letter blaming Israel, blamed Israel for the massacre committed against them. I'm not sure how that works, but I think that it's almost ridiculous that she said something along the lines of, well, there's free speech and all that. But I don't recall that being her response, you know, in other situations where, looking at more from a conservative point of view, she gets a little bit, she dances away from the free speech part. It looks like we have got a call. Who is this on the air, Boomer?
Wolverine
Dan.
Oh,
it's Wolverine Dan. All right.
Wolverine Dan, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing quite well. But listen, you know, I'm your blue-collar, lunch-pail, retired guy that don't want to put up with crap, and there's a lot of crap. Let me tell you what right now, fellas and ladies. The way I see it is that fall in line, Republicans. Get behind each other. You know, don't be playing footsie with the Democrats. Bottom line is this. Jim Jordan is a solid American, good human being, and he loves his fellow man in his country. So,
I agree.
You know, get over your attitudes and, you know, your big ideas that go nowhere, bridge to nowhere, for crying out loud. Bottom line is, get behind Jim Jordan. Let's get this ball rolling, and let's take the country back, because it's going in the wrong direction.
Well, I totally agree, and I desperately hope people are reaching out. Any of the Michigan senators up there is there any Republicans up there? Are they not going for Jim Jordan?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know who the governor is. Oh, my God. She's as bad as Taliba, whatever her name is. My God. No, more like, I want to leave. That's what it really sounds like.
She's a nutbag.
Bottom line is this, you know, I don't speak for them because I live in Alabama now, but I will say this, my whole family's up there.
Right.
And we don't talk a lot of politics together because I really don't really know who they side with, and I don't want to, you know, that's the one thing. When it comes to politics and family, you don't put them two together. You separate them because you got loved ones you love, and then some of these politicians I know I don't love, and I'd like to put them on a boat, you know, and sink it and put some chum in the water.
I totally understand. But if you want them to leave Thanksgiving, you can start bringing it up, and then people will head for the door. But thank you, Wolverine Dan. Thank you. Looks like we have got another call. Allie from Athens.
Hi there. First of all, I want to tell you that you're rocking it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Secondly, I had the great privilege of leading worship with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn in the Negev. And in that trip, which was 9 years ago, just about this time, we got to go up to the Golan, where the 50-year war happened 50 years ago. And I'm a little bit bold, so I stood out from the crowd, and I looked at the IDF, and I said, on behalf of the American people, I would like to apologize for the shameless treatment that our president gave your president. He does not reflect our values. He does not reflect what we believe. We love Israel. And basically everywhere we went, they would say, we know that. I mean, once you experience how much they know that they are loved by us, it changes you forever. So,
right.
I hear the music, my girl. Go do your thing.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Allie, and totally agree. We will be back top of the hour to discuss a little mini dipper.